Matthew chapter 6, looking at verse 9, Jesus' words, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen. Hallelujah. If I had a title for this message today, it would just be, "Thy Kingdom Come." Thy Kingdom Come. And I want to say as we begin this message today that God can do anything.
Amen.
Yes. Anything. Amen. He created everything that we see with the spoken word. He is a creator. He can do anything. Amen. He can open blind eyes. He can put eyeballs in sockets that were never there. He can create eardrums. He can do anything. God can do anything.
Amen.
But God won't do anything without faith. Without faith. Need moves the heart of God. How many understand this today? Need moves the heart of God. But faith moves the hand of God. It takes faith to move the hand of God. Well, how do we get faith? I want to share with you something that God brought to my attention. And you're probably going to say, when I say this, you're going to say, I've heard this at least 1,000 times, but I want you to listen to it. Romans 10, 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And you probably think when you hear that, the same thing I did. You think this verse is saying, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Now that's what I thought it said. But you've got to start here to really get this. We start with the second part first. And the second part says that hearing comes by the word of God. That means that before faith can come, you have to have hearing. You have to have hearing before faith can come. And that is more than physical ears. It means you have to have a hearing heart.
Amen.
Your heart has ears. Everybody say, "My heart has ears." Ask your neighbor, "Does your heart have ears?" Your heart has ears. But before the ears of your heart can hear God, you must first choose to listen with your natural ears. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, put on your listening ears." Now they used to do that in the little kids class. They would tell them, "Put on your listening ears." Why would you say that? Because the reality is you can be in the place where something is being spoken and your ears are picking up the auditory senses of it, but you're not listening. Not everybody that's hearing is listening. In the Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Well, we all have ears. Everybody has ears. Unless you had a birth defect or something happened. But we have ears. We got them when we were born. We're born with them. Right? "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." That means you've got to choose to hear. You've got to choose to listen. And so when you make the decision to really hear God's word intentionally, then the ears of your heart open up. And when the ears of your heart open up, that's when faith can be born in your heart. Tell your neighbor, "Open up your ears of your heart." Say, tell your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, faith is your greatest need." See, you got to get this. Whatever your need might be today, your greatest need is faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to receive anything from God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Everything we receive from God will be by faith. So our greatest need is faith in God. Early in my ministry, I had a strong ambition. I had a desire to be a great preacher. I've heard great preachers in my lifetime, and my life has been influenced and impacted by some great preachers. And I'm grateful for their impact and for their influence they had in my life. So for a long time in my life, there was a desire and an ambition in my heart to be a great preacher, to preach the word under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I think that's a good ambition. I think that's a worthy ambition, a worthy desire. But as I mature, something has begun to happen. As I mature, I feel the weight and responsibility of my calling. My desires are shifting. I no longer feel so much of a desire or a need driving me to be a great preacher. But I feel that I must be a good communicator. I have to communicate the truth. I have to present the truth that I have received from God to your hearts and your minds in such a way that you can understand it and retain it. That's what I'm aiming for. I'm aiming for the ability, because the Bible says that the seed can be sown, and if it's not received, if it's not understood, it said that the evil one can come and steal that seed away. And so I feel like if I can do this, if I can present the truth that God has put on my heart, if I can present it to your heart and to your mind in such a way as you can understand it and retain it, then I've accomplished what God has sent me to do. But I got to say, when I thought about this, this does not meet the full measure of what I believe my responsibility is. Because I not only want to communicate truth to you, I want to communicate the presence of God to you. At this stage in my life, I'm keenly aware of the necessity of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm aware of the fact that without Him, I can do nothing. And so my aim and my focus today is not just to present truth to your mind for your consideration, but it is to bring to you an encounter with the tangible presence of God. Everybody say, I want an encounter with God. So before I seek the Lord, before I seek the Lord for the message that I bring on a Sunday morning, before I seek the Lord about that message and what that message is, I am seeking the Lord for His presence. I'm spending time in His presence because I understand something. It's not the message or the scriptural content itself that changes lives, but it's the presence and the power of God in the message that changes lives. So you can have all kinds of word, all kinds of knowledge, but if you don't have an encounter with the God of the Word, it's not going to change you. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, if I'm able to bring to your mind great volumes of truth, but I'm not able to bring near to your heart the presence of God, then I've failed. I've failed. My mission, my goal is not simply to present truth to your mind, but it is to bring the presence of God near to you so you can have an encounter personally with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Say,
my faith
is not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, as I studied this and I read these scriptures, there's no question that the Apostle Paul was a man of great wisdom. He was very intellectual. He trained at the seat of one of the greatest teachers of his day, Gamaliel. He was trained there. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court. Paul the Apostle was a smart man. But his goal was not to sway people with his great communication skills and knowledge of truth, but rather to affect them and impact them with the power of the gospel. Everybody say, the power of the gospel. See, our gospel must be more than words, or it's not the gospel Jesus preached. Our gospel must be more than words, or it's not the gospel the apostles preached, because their gospel produced results. Everybody say, results. Say, I want results. Say, the gospel preached in the power of the Holy Spirit produces results. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, he said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The gospel must come in the power of the Holy Spirit. The reason our gospel must be more than just words is because Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of power. If you haven't figured that out by now, you probably never will. If you haven't figured out that we're not in a battle of Republican versus Democrat, but this is the devil and this is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, if you haven't figured that out by now, you probably never will. There is a evil, dark kingdom. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of power. He's wreaking havoc upon this earth. Hell is belching out every kind of darkness and perversion and evil that it can manufacture. And if there's no kingdom of God in power on the earth, then there's no restraint against the devil and all of his demons. But thank God there is. Oh, hallelujah. Say, thank God there is. 1 Corinthians 4:20 said, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying the kingdom of God is here, and that kingdom is a kingdom of power, and that kingdom of God produces results.
Amen.
Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah. Say, in the Holy Ghost. Say, let's get in the Holy Ghost. See, that's where it happens. In the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In the Holy Ghost, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached, we are to expect the manifestation of the kingdom. We're to expect kingdom results. We're to expect the sick to be healed, the bound to be delivered, captives to be set free, freedom and joy and peace and excitement, enthusiasm, fire, and celebration should happen where the kingdom is preached. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8 says this. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. When the kingdom of God comes, it brings great joy. When the kingdom of God comes, it brings righteousness. When the kingdom of God comes, it brings peace in the Holy Ghost. Now, what did he preach? He preached Christ. He preached Christ the King. He preached the kingdom of God is here. Acts 8 and 12 said, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. At 2023, at the age of 63, I'm not concerned with impressing anybody with my preaching ability or style. I have no concern. That doesn't bother me a bit. But I'm very concerned that my preaching and teaching and books and writing and anything else, that it brings people into contact with the kingdom of God. In that kingdom, there's no sickness.
That's right.
Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. That's why people want to go to heaven. Because there's no sickness there. In that kingdom, there's no poverty and lack. In that kingdom, there's no fear. There's no depression. There's no anxiety. There's no stress. There's no worry. In that kingdom is salvation, healing, deliverance, freedom, and joy. In that kingdom is prosperity and abundance. And that kingdom is available right now. Everybody say, right here,
right here.
Right now.
Right now.
Jesus said, and this is our opening text, Jesus said that we are to pray that the kingdom of God would come, that the will of God would be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, make this your prayer to your Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Woo! In heaven, there's no thieves. You don't have to worry about locking your doors. In heaven, there's no murder, no abortion, no rape, no pedophiles, no homosexuality, no transgenderism, lesbianism, no child abuse, no spousal abuse, no cancer, no heart trouble, no diabetes, no arthritis, no blindness or deafness, no muscular dystrophy or kidney or liver disease. There's no divorce or broken homes. There's only peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom looks like. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What did Jesus preach? What did Jesus preach? He didn't preach salvation through the cross because he hadn't died yet. So what did Jesus preach? He opened his earthly ministry by preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find out that Jesus' message was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like a seed. The kingdom of God is like three measures of a meal, of a leaven that a woman hid in the meal until the whole was leavened. The kingdom of God is like a seed that is the littlest of all. And it's sown. It grows up and becomes a big tree. The kingdom of God was the message Jesus preached. And here's what he preached. The kingdom of God is here. And if you desire it with all your heart, you can enter into it. That's what he said. In Matthew 11 and 12, it said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, if you're serious about it, and if you want it with all your heart, you can get it. Because it's available. In Luke 16:16, it says the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, since John, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. Everybody say, you got to press.
Press.
If I'm going to press, that means it's serious to me. That means it's important to me. It's worth my effort. I intend to get there. I'm going to press. You couldn't press to get into the kingdom if you got to wait till you die to go to heaven. To get there. Jesus said the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses his way into it. If you're going to get there, you got to press your way into it. The devil doesn't want you to experience the kingdom of God. Jesus' message was not repent so you can go to heaven when you die. Jesus' message was repent so you can get into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And experience and manifest the kingdom on the earth. The kingdom of God is not particularly heaven. But the kingdom of God is the government of heaven manifested on the earth. So the kingdom of God was here when Jesus came to the earth.
Yeah.
How do you know? Because he's the king.
Yeah, right.
How many know Jesus is the king?
Amen.
King Jesus.
Yeah.
So when Jesus came to the earth, the kingdom of God was on the earth. How do we know? Because he's the king. You're not a king if you don't have a kingdom. So he came to the earth and he brought the kingdom of God with him. And he manifested the will of the Father in the earth. In fact, he said, I never do anything except what the Father tells me to do. I only do what I see my Father do. So the kingdom of God was brought here by Jesus Christ. It's here now, and it's also in heaven. So let me show it to you. There's no devil in heaven. So God's will is always done in heaven. His will is never resisted or contested in heaven. It was once. And then he fell like lightning. I think the Lord said, I don't think so. And Lucifer got the boot. So there's no devil in heaven. So God's will is always done. His will is never resisted. It's never contested in heaven. But there is a devil on the earth. And he has a kingdom that directly opposes and resists the kingdom of God. The devil will work his plans and his purposes on the earth anywhere and everywhere he is not contested or opposed or resisted. Anywhere the devil is not opposed or resisted and contested, he will work his darkness, he will work his evil, and he will work his perverseness. Our job as ambassadors of the kingdom of God is to throw up a stop sign to the procession of hell and to announce that the kingdom of God is here now and to overthrow the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Everybody say, the kingdom of God
is here.
Say, the kingdom of God
is at hand.
Say, the kingdom of God
is available
to everyone in Jesus' name. Acts 10:38, I love this scripture. It's a very powerful verse. I quote it all the time. And it's speaking of Jesus. When it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But it could just as truly say, how God anoints Kent and Judy of Los Osos. It could just as truly say how God anoints Tommy. How God anoints Cindy of Grover Beach, of Arroyo Grande, who goes about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God is with them. It could just as easily say and be right how God anoints Ernesto. So he can go about doing good, healing all that oppress of the devil, for God is with him. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's not about me having to die to go to heaven. It's about the fact that Jesus died to get heaven in my heart. Most Christians believe that God has a kingdom. Most Christians believe that it's real. But the problem is, many of them still believe they have to die to get there. But the truth is, Jesus died so we could get there. In fact, Jesus died for our sins so he could make our hearts ready to receive the kingdom. That's why, friend, that's why he shed that blood. That blood was not just to get rid of our sins. That blood was to get his kingdom in us. That blood was so the Holy Spirit could move inside of us, because the Holy Spirit couldn't live in us until the blood had cleansed us. The kingdom couldn't get in us until the blood had cleansed us. So the Bible says in Luke 17, 20 through 21, when he was demanded of the Pharisees, demanded. That means the Pharisees are saying, hey, we got a question. When's the kingdom coming? It's like Jesus is like, I don't have to mess with you. I mean, like, they really thought they were something, didn't they? I mean, they just pestered Jesus all the time. Everywhere he went, they just followed him around. And it wasn't to learn anything. It was just to make him miserable and just to try to make him look bad in everyone else's eyes. Ask him stupid questions. And so they said, when is the kingdom coming? And Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. He said, it's not coming the way you think. He said that you should say, oh, it's over there in the Rio Grande. Oh, no, 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 now it's moved over into Santa Barbara. Oh, no, I hear the kingdom is now, it's down in L.A. Oh, no, 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 it's in Sacramento. No, as a matter of fact, it's not there at all. It's in Kansas. Used to be in Joplin. The Pentecostal Church of God. But now they've moved to Texas. He said that you should say, lo here or lo there. He said, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Say, the kingdom of God, is within me.
Amen.
Say, I don't have to die to get into the kingdom.
Amen.
Say, Jesus died to get the kingdom in me. Hallelujah. 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 See, the devil loves it when we look at the kingdom of God as a place somewhere over the rainbow where we go when we die, because that gives him free reign on the earth. If we think we got to die to get to the kingdom of God, then that gives the devil free reign with his kingdom on the earth.
Yes, that's right.
And the devil will do everything and anything we let him get away with. Now, listen to what I said. He would do anything and everything we let him get away with. And why did I say that? Because God is not coming down to fix our mess. Jesus is not coming down from heaven to fix the mess of this world's in, because he's already put his kingdom in us. His kingdom is already here, and now it's up to us to let the kingdom out. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you gotta let it out. You gotta let it out. Woo, glory to God. So the church is the visible manifestation of God's kingdom in the earth. And whether you know it or not, if you're full of God's Spirit, you're a kingdom carrier. Not just a kingdom crier, announcing the kingdom, talking about the kingdom, but also a kingdom carrier through whom the kingdom is manifested. That's why Jesus said, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's why he said, in my name you shall cast out devils. You shall take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You shall lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the kingdom. If the kingdom of God is fully manifested in this place, at this very moment, there would not be one ailment, one sickness, one discouragement, one depression, one fear, one doubt, one bit of stress, anxiety, nothing. That's why we want to go to heaven. Because when we get to heaven, we won't have any of that stuff. Well, that's what the kingdom of God is when it's manifested in the earth. Righteousness. People in right standing with God. Getting rid of anything that is out of order, that is keeping us out of fellowship, relationship, intimacy with God. Righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't go to a church that doesn't love the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't go to a church that doesn't talk about the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'll send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world does not know, but you know him. For you've seen him, and he's with you, and he's with you now, but he shall be in you. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Even to the end of the earth. Let me paraphrase what he's saying. He's saying all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Now I send you under my authority. Go, I'll be with you. Do you know how I know without a doubt that the kingdom of God is here right now? Because the king lives in my heart. And the king didn't come without a kingdom. And his kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. His kingdom is prosperity. His kingdom is setting everything right that is out of order. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven. In heaven where your kingdom is and your government is manifested and everything is done according to your will. And your will is never contested or resisted. Let that kingdom come to this earth.
Amen.
And let your will be done on the earth. Sickness is not God's will. Health is God's will. Anxiety and stress and worry and fear is not God's will. Peace and joy is God's will. When we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What we're saying is, Lord, let heaven come to earth. Let the joy and the peace and the righteousness and the prosperity and the abundance and the happiness that is in heaven right now, let it come and let it be manifested in the earth. That's the message of the kingdom. That was Jesus' message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When they questioned him, as Jesus began to bring deliverance to the bound, the oppressed, the sick, the lame, the blind, the deaf, they questioned him, how are you doing this? He said, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is come near to you.
Yeah.
What is he saying? He says, these deliverances, this joy, this peace that is coming, he said, it is the result of the kingdom being at work.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
What I'm preaching to you right now is simple Bible truth. But there was a time, the first time I ever heard mention of the kingdom of God, I had no idea what it meant. Anytime someone mentioned kingdom of God to me, my mind went straight to heaven. I can't wait till I die. I get to go to heaven. I get to get in the kingdom. And Jesus, oh, how that must grieve the Holy Spirit. How that must grieve the Holy Spirit when he walked Jesus through the whole process of his crucifixion and death and burial to bring the kingdom to us.
Yeah.
And how it must grieve the devil.
Yeah.
Every time. Brother Scott, every time one of us get the revelation, I don't gotta die to go to the kingdom. Jesus died to get the kingdom in me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why I can experience peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, stand all over this house today. Stand with me all over this house. The kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. It's within me. We wait so many times for God to bring something to us, and he's already given us everything. You can't get any more of God than you already have. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, he doesn't come in piecemeal. When Jesus comes to live in you, he doesn't come by piecemeal. He doesn't come by a leg now and a toe later. And he comes in his fullness. We're the ones that have to grow. We're the ones that have to gain knowledge. We're the ones that have to surrender more of ourselves to him and get better acquainted with him. But when he comes, his fullness is here. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ is dwelling in my heart by faith today. His kingdom is here. His kingdom is now. And where his kingdom is, Satan's kingdom is defeated. Where God's kingdom is, sickness must bow. Disease must bow. Depression must bow. Poverty and lack must bow. Bondage and oppression must bow. Demon possession must bow. Wherever the kingdom is, there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you put your hand on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I believe your word.
I believe what you said.
I thank you for the price you paid to get the kingdom into me. And Lord, I yield myself to you. I submit myself to you. Let your kingdom come in my life, in my heart. Let your will be done in my life, in my heart, through my hands, through my feet, through my mouth. Use me to expand the kingdom everywhere I go. Use me to manifest the kingdom of God everywhere I go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I want you to turn to someone today. I want you to turn to someone. I want you to put a hand on their shoulder. And I want you to pray for them right now. That the kingdom of God will come to them. That the kingdom of God will come to them. Every need that they have today is met in the kingdom of God. Pray for them right now that the kingdom of God will come. And there will be a manifestation of the kingdom of God in their lives today. In the Abba-Sata-Barabba-Sata. Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of your kingdom in Brother Mike's life, Lord. Sister Portia's life. I thank you for the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Health and healing and wholeness and prosperity and abundance in the kingdom. I thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is come. Your kingdom is come. Your will is being done, Lord, right now in earth as it is in heaven, Lord. I thank you that all sickness must go. All disease must go. All disorder must go. All confusion must go. All fear must go. All anxiety must go. All distress must go. The kingdom comes and your will is done. In Jesus' name, I thank you for peace and joy. Woo! Hallelujah. You just imagine all those demons, all those little demons outside said, oh my God, oh no. Oh no, those people, oh my goodness, those people are going to be hard to deal with now. They're going to be a nightmare for us. We're not going to get much sleep for the next month or two. Amen. The kingdom of God is in you. It's in me. Oh, I believe in heaven. Don't mistake me. Oh, if in this life only I had hope in Christ, I would be of all men most miserable. I believe in kingdom now. I believe in kingdom later. But the whole purpose for Jesus' birth, his birth, his life, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection was more than just to get us to heaven. It was to get the kingdom in us. In the earth. Can we just lift our hands all over the house and thank him today? Jesus, we say thank you. Jesus, we say thank you. Holy Spirit, we say thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing in each believer today. Thank you for the truth that brings life. You said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we praise you, Jesus, for truth today that liberates, sets free. I want you to agree with me today. Rachel, Sister Judy, Brother Kent's daughter, had an accident. She's doing well, but the person that hit her passed. So she's bad. She's struggling with that issue. That's a terrible thing. Any way you want to look at it, that family needs prayer. But she is also needs much prayer that through this, God will reach her. She'll realize this is the mercies of God, that it wasn't her. She's still here. And she's here for a reason. To fulfill a purpose and a destiny. So I want you to pray with me for Rachel today and for that family as well. Father, we are your kingdom in the earth manifested, the church. And we just lift up Rachel, Lord. And we pray right now, Father God, that through this terrible tragedy, Lord, you will reach her heart. And you will cause her to realize, Lord, that she's here because of your hand upon her. She's here because of your mercy. She's here because of your faithfulness and because of your plan and purpose for her life, Lord. And for the prayers that have been prayed over her. And Lord, we pray for that family today that has lost this loved one. We pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit, for the kingdom of God to come to manifestation in their behalf today. That you will give them comfort, you will give them peace, Lord. That you will be with that family, that you will hold them through this season of grief, Lord. And that you will walk through this season with them. And Lord, we thank you today that we are not just criers of the kingdom, but we are carriers of the kingdom everywhere we go. In Jesus' name. If you believe this today, would you give the Lord another good hand clap of praise? Amen. 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 You can consider yourselves dismissed, but as you're dismissed, I want you to turn, shake hands with somebody, three or four people at least, and tell them you look like an ambassador of the kingdom. Amen.